Thank you, ladies.
So how are you newlyweds doing down there?
So far, so good.
Excuse me while I deal with these allergies. So, I've seen Linda looking a little stressed this morning. And so I thought I'd preach about an hour and a half, give you a chance to calm down. That'd be good. That'd be good. Actually, she said, keep it short, bub. Which, to the bub I added, she didn't say that. But she did say keep it short. So I'll do my best. In a moment, I'll be in Ephesians chapter 5, a familiar passage on marriage from the Apostle Paul. We'll be looking at Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. I'm going to speak just for a few moments on how to have a long and happy marriage. And we live in a day where a lot of folks view marriage the way flies look at a screen door on a house. Did you catch that? Those on the outside won't in, and too many on the inside won't out. So many people think that if they're not married, oh, if I can just get married, I'll live happily ever after. And the married people just smile and say, yeah. It's not really the fairy tale where you're going to live happily ever after. They smile and say, no, it's going to be more like a tale of two cities. It was the best of times and the worst of times. No marriage is perfect, right? And the reason why there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, because there's no such thing as a perfect husband or a perfect wife. Yet, in an age of broken marriages and dysfunctional families, I want you to know that there is a formula for success, and the Bible gives it to us. And I also believe that Richard and Linda have, along the way, discovered that formula for a long and happy marriage. You can have a long marriage, but not necessarily a happy one. I knew a couple many years ago when I was a pastor in rural Texas back in my college days. I knew a couple that celebrated their 79th wedding anniversary. I officiated both of their funerals. Guy Musgrove was 15 when he married 15-year-old Myrtle. They both lived way up into their 90s and made it to their 79th anniversary. As I said, they had a long marriage, and I know they had some happy times, but I'm not sure exactly if the happy times outlasted or were outweighed the times that were not so happy. For you see, every time I was around them in their 90s, all they did was fuss and argue and squabble with each other. Now, they were both so deaf they couldn't hear a cat in a washing machine. And when I would visit at their son's house across the cow pasture from them, several hundred yards away, inside the house next door, you could hear them going at it. Yeah! What, Myrtle? You could hear them just going around and around and around. And so it was much to my surprise that one day I got a call from them. I was a single college student pastoring my first congregation. And they said, can you come do marriage counseling for us? So that was my first experience with marriage counseling. And so I went in there, I'm like, what in the world am I going to say? I've never been married. I don't know anything about this. I can just say, you know, what the Bible says. And anyway, so they had been fussing and fighting for several weeks, and there was just no end to this battle. And finally, just in a huff, Guy just looked at me and said, "Preacher, we're going to get divorced one of these days. We're just waiting on all the grandkids to die first. We don't want to disappoint them." Well, like all their other squabbles, it came and went, and they didn't get divorced. And I know Guy was really joking, and he really did love Myrtle. But I'm so glad that I can stand here and say, you know, at 50 years, Richard and Linda aren't like Guy and Myrtle. I can see the true love that they have for one another. And I can share with you this personal testimony. There have been times where Richard was in the hospital for a while. And I knew that when I would go see Richard in the hospital, that Linda was going to be there. That she loved Richard and she couldn't stand to be apart from him. And if I went into his room and Linda wasn't there, all that meant was she was down in the cafeteria getting something to eat or had stepped outside for a breath of fresh air, but she was somewhere around that hospital. And then when Linda had been in the hospital, Richard was going to be there all he possibly could because he didn't want to be away from his dear Linda. And just the level of care and love for each other that I have personally witnessed is a great testimony of what a marriage is supposed to be. The Apostle Paul described marriage this way in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. He says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is also the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Now, I could spend a lot of time in this passage talking about what it means for the wife to submit and how that is keyed upon the husband loving her as Christ loved the church so much that he's willing to lay down his life for his wife and always putting his wife ahead of himself. And I think we all see what the Apostle Paul is talking about. But I would like to boil it down to just a very simple format this morning on how to have a long and happy marriage. Now, there are lots of points I could make and subpoints, and I could go on and on and on this subject. But I just want to pull three out of the hat that I think are very important that I have witnessed in this dear couple that we are celebrating today. And as I bring these out, if you are married, make note of this. They apply to you. If you're a younger person and figure that you're going to be married one day, learn these three things that I'm going to quickly share. And I guarantee you, if you do these, you'll have a long and happy marriage. The first thing is what Paul was talking about here in Ephesians 5. And he was just simply saying, love must be in the right order. This isn't complicated. I've put it up here for you. Four simple steps. Four orders of love that need to be in your life. Obviously, the first one is, you have to love God the most. Everything else flows out of your love for God and God's love for you. Jesus one time was asked by some Pharisees, so what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus simply said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. He was repeating what God had already said in Deuteronomy. That's what it all boils down to. If you put your love for God above all else, then you will be able to love others properly. And what happens then is, as you put your love for God first in your life, then you are able to love your spouse second most. You see, that's a mistake that many married couples make. They say, oh, my spouse, my husband, my wife is number one in my love. That's great. It sounds awesome. But it's one step out of order. By loving God most, husband and wife then are able to have the godly character that's needed to love each other even better. So, the love for spouse comes second. Third thing, and a lot of couples get this out of order, is love your children third most. You kids that are here today, listen to me. I'm telling your moms and your dads that they should love each other more than you. I didn't say they don't love you. I'm not telling them not to love you. I am telling you that the best thing that they can do for you as kids and teenagers is first to love God the most. Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to make them a godly parent who can love you even better. And then I'm telling them to love each other more than they love you. Because what that does for you is that gives you a healthy, happy, and secure home. You don't have to go, oh, my parents are having a disagreement. Are they going to get divorced? Is the house going to break up? What's going to happen? No. You'll know that no matter what happens, because my parents love God the most, and because they love each other second after God, that I know they love me properly. And they are not going to split up. That's a beautiful thing. And that's the way God designed it to be. And then, the fourth order, and some are curious about this, because I said up here, love others and yourself last. And some folks go, now wait a minute, shouldn't it be love others as order number four, and then yourself as order number five? Remember back when I said the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Then Jesus said, I'm going to give you a free one. You didn't ask for this one, but I'm going to tell you what the second greatest one is. Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. Treat others with the same kind of love that you would expect others to treat you with. That's the golden rule. Do you know you have to have a little bit of love for yourself? I'm not talking about a conceited love where, hey, look how great I am. No, that's not what we're talking about. But a love that comes out of a self-respect. God loves me so much that he sent Christ to die on a cross for me. To save me from my sin. God wants a relationship with me. As the old saying goes, God don't make no junk. God didn't make garbage when he made me. He loves me. That's a healthy view of yourself. And he's saying, give others the kind of love and respect. Love others as you love yourself. Give others the kind of love and respect that you have received from God. You get what I'm saying? Everybody got that one? Because I don't want the food to get cold. Let's move. Here's the second thing. Let go of the small stuff in marriage. There's two verses I've put up here. A his and her verse. Let's do the his first. This is from Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 21. I love this verse. As charcoal for embers and wood for fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. I speak from my experience of marriages I have witnessed. I knew a couple, and they were always quarreling. I had known this couple since I was a child. And the reason they were always quarreling and fighting with each other is because the husband could not let the small things go. He was always looking for something to argue about. And the same could be said of his wife. And I got her verse up here. It's Proverbs 25, 24. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. By the way, Ramona and I had some college friends. At their wedding, that verse was on his groom's cake at the reception. It's a good thing that his wife had a great sense of humor, which she did. But I'll never forget that. And so every time I see that verse, I think of Craig's groom's cake at his wedding. But anyway, I think of this woman. She couldn't let anything go. And she just pecked and pecked and pecked at him. Nag, nag, nag. And it led to disaster. You see, but it all goes back to that order of love. It's all about recognizing the forgiveness that God has given you in Christ. And that the Lord asks you to forgive others. And forgiveness must start with those whom you are closest to. It was Dr. James Dobson who said, go into marriage with your eyes wide open, looking for those faults. But after marriage, you live in marriage with your eyes half closed. Because you're going to find those irritations. I'm going to get in trouble here, but I can't resist. So, Linda, does Richard ever irritate you? Never? Now, Richard, careful. Careful here. All right. This is my time. You made me wear a suit today, so I'm going to get you. Has Linda ever irritated you? Careful. You're going to plead the fifth? All right. Sure they have. Sure they have. If you're married, you have irritated each other at some point. It happens. But you got to extend the grace of God into that. There are some times you do have to say, okay, I'm not budging on this. But those times are few and far between. Let go of the small stuff. Practice forgiveness and grace with one another. And then the third and final thing, and this is one I have witnessed a lot in Richard and Linda's life. Laugh a lot. Laugh a lot. I love this verse. Proverbs 13:9. The life of the godly is full of light and joy. The people of God are the ones that can enjoy life more than anybody else. Do you know that? I've talked with folks going, oh, them Christians, they don't ever get to have any fun. Well, let me tell you, if you have more fun than I do in life, you know, you wouldn't be able to stand yourself. Who has more reason for joy than God's people? For they have the promise of freedom from sin, freedom from the grave, life eternal, the ability for husband and wife to love each other in a perfect way. Nobody else has that. When you live a godly life, your life will be filled with joy. Yes, there's going to be tears. Yes, there's going to be sadness. Yes, there are going to be hard times. But through it all, there is joy. There is laughter. There is light. It's an odd Sunday when I come in and Richard doesn't have a joke for me. How many times a week do you hear his jokes, Linda? A few. That's okay. That's all right. But he makes you laugh, doesn't he? And Richard, I know Linda makes you laugh. You delight in one another. And that's what a husband and wife who love each other ought to be able to do. To delight in the joy of the Lord and the joy of each other. So that's it. I only have 2 pages of notes. I didn't bring my big fat notebook up here this morning. As I said, I could have said a lot more about how to have a long and happy marriage. If anybody here needs advice on marriage, there's some folks I would think about to send them to that have much more experience than me. And this is one of the couples right here. But I'd say, you know, you ought to talk to them for a little perspective on what you're dealing with. They've been there. I wish you many, many more years together. I hope we're back here in 50 years for your 100th one. All right. I know your 75th is the diamond one. I don't know what the 100 is. I think we just call it the wow one, right? But may the Lord bless you. We're going to have an invitation song. I haven't preached an evangelistic message this morning. But I pray that if you're a married person today, something was said that made you go, oh yeah, I needed to be reminded of that. If you're a young person hopes to be married one day, I hope you're putting this in a file back where in your heart somewhere to remember that for the future. But I'd be amiss if I did not say to everybody in the room, married, single, young or older, that the greatest love that has ever been was expressed on the cross of Calvary when Jesus gave his life for you. The key in all relationships is your relationship with Jesus. If you don't have one, you can come down here to the front, meet with me, and I'll pray with you, and you can give your life to Jesus today, and you can begin the greatest adventure of your life today. Let's stand. Invite our praise team to come back up here. You need to come. I invite you. quickly going to do some announcements here, and I want you to listen close, all right? After the service ends, we're going to be moving chairs and setting up tables for the luncheon. And so, Jim, will you give them their instructions?
Get out of here.
We're going to need as many people out as possible unless you're willing to help put up tables and move chairs around so we have room to get. We're going to have to put about 16 tables up out here, moving the blue chairs around.
All right.
If you're willing to help, let us know. If not, feel free to walk out and talk to us.
All right. All right. Thank you, Jim. Other announcements. Our annual business meeting was postponed because we had a number of people out of town, and it will be on the 9th of September because next weekend, I know with Labor Day holiday, we'll have a number of people out again. And so that'll be on the 9th following our morning worship. Also on the 9th, it is Football Fan Sunday. And so if you want to wear your team's colors to worship on Sunday morning, feel free to do so. Richard, can I wear not a tie then on that day?
I'll let you.
All right, I appreciate it. Because I don't have a Dallas Cowboys tie. And so, anyway. Have you seen the Cowboys lately, really? Anyway, they're not a threat. So we'll do that. And then in the evening, the Packers play that grade school team down the road in Chicago that evening. And so at 6 o'clock on the 9th, you see it in the bulletin there, but we're going to have just a fellowship, so bring your football fan foods, kind of a potluck time, and then we're going to put the game up there on the screens at 7 o'clock. I know it's a school night and a work night, and so if you need to leave early, feel free to do so, but stay as long as you want, and hopefully the Packers will have a good game that night. And since the Cowboys aren't playing, I can root for the Packers in this one. So, all right. Any other word before we're dismissed? What is it, Latasha?